This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. the voice is a little bit rough today. My beloved has been sick for lands over a week now. I mean, just hacking and coughing, and I've been trying to stay ahead of it. But, you know, I'm sorry in advance because there's going to be a lot of throat clearing and all that kind of stuff. And this, there may be even some nose blowing because I didn't quite stay ahead of it. So I don't seem to have nearly as bad a case as she has. But I'm still, you know, not so good. So sorry, got to blow my nose. Apologies. Anyways. So, even despite the sickness stuff, it's been a good week. It's been an exciting week. We've had a few things here and there, but Jesus has helped us, you know, set them up, knock them down. So, that's all been good. Just been working in programming on my little Windows 7 application. Made some good progress this week. Didn't have too many dinners with my friends this week. I had some friends who had other things to do this week. I'd got together with my buddy on Tuesday. My buddy, who I usually get together with on Wednesday, had gone to Hawaii. I think he's back in town, but I texted him, and he wasn't available. And then tonight, the new buddy I'm getting together with, he's actually moving, so we couldn't get together. But you know what? That's okay. It's been a good week anyways. My granddaughter, who is very grand, is 9 months old today. Miss Clara turned 9 months old today. So, I don't know if I'm not feeling any better. I don't know if I'm going to get to see her tomorrow. You know, sure hate to go and get him infected or something, so... Anyway, so I'll have to check in with them, see how they're doing, see how my wife is doing, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, it's been an interesting week as I've been, you know, working hard and then doing a little reading and watching a few things and trying to decide, what am I going to talk about on Thursday? And I'd kind of decided early on that I would just talk about things that I found interesting this week. I feel like one of the really nice things about having a life framework to plug things into is to be able to go through life and then look at things and, you know, where people say, well, this is that or that is that, you can kind of look at it and say, well, no, I don't think so, because, you know, I can run this back against the framework, and the framework says no. And the framework then helps me decide if this is a good idea to pursue this, or that's a good observation someone makes. And then over time, to watch and see how the framework works out, and you see that it works out really well. It's just fun. I had a situation today where I felt like I had made my best effort to ensure a successful outcome. And then last night discovered that all my efforts had been in vain. And after discovering that all my efforts had been in vain and then realizing that I was going to have to do some damage control here and there, of course, the first thing that happens is the flesh rears up and says, oh, yeah, but you need to tell them that, you know, you saw that coming in and you tried to do that and you do. And I knew that was just flesh, and I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. Let's just figure out what our possibilities are here, and then if there's the need of your help, you volunteer your help and go over and see if you can help kind of smooth things over a little bit. And so by the time it was time for me to offer my help, I already had a good foundation of understanding as to what we could do, how we could proceed to rectify the problem. And because of the situation, I was not immediately at liberty to impose myself in the situation, but I felt a little nudge that said, look, just go. And so I had committed myself to the fact that, you know, if they don't want to cover the time for me to do this, I'll just eat the time and pay for it myself. And so I had gone over. I don't do that a lot. And so gone over, had a meeting. We had a very nice meeting. We talked through all the possibilities. By the time it was all said and done, the work component had decreased significantly. I was talking to a coworker as we came back over, and he said, wow, he said, I really didn't expect that to go that way. He said, you know, I've worked here long enough that sometimes you can say, but we need to do this and this and this, and then people just go, yeah, but we want it that way anyways. We just had a very nice discussion. By the time we got to the end of it, everybody was nodding and saying, yeah, okay, that's good. Well, see, if I, A, hadn't prepared, if I, B, hadn't imposed myself in the situation, if I, C, went in there with, well, you know, what we should have done all along, blah, 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 you know. If I went in with any of that stuff, the outcome would not have been the same. But because the framework helps me identify key elements and recognize the interaction of those elements, then I can go in, we can have a nice conversation, and whichever way it goes out, it goes out. It's fine. You know, there's no big emotional involvement one way or another. We just get the job done, which is very cool. And it's very cool. And it works really, really well. So kind of with that backdrop, the Oscars were this last Sunday, obviously, and, you know, I thought they were fine. There's been a bunch of TV critics that were complaining about the hosts, which were, oh, I've just lost their names. I need more drugs. Because I'm on the end of my drug cycle here, so I'm starting to, you know, kind of get stopped up and stuff. What's their name? I can't remember. Anyways, very nice-looking young people. Anne Hathaway, youngest Oscar host ever. I thought she did a fine job. There's nothing wrong with that. The next day, Oprah did her ultimate Oscar after-party. And she walks out to this theater where the Oscars were, and it is jam-packed with her people. I mean, it's just jam-packed. Excuse me. Floor to ceiling. And these people are screaming at the top of their lungs because they're seeing Oprah. And it's just fascinating, you know. And she's just drinking it all in. And the first thing I thought was, you know, this is going to be really interesting. Because here on this earth, there's only a very, very few people who are in that position of walking out on a stage and having people scream for them. And I thought, what's going to be interesting is that when we transition from this life to the next, I firmly believe that we will be interconnected, that we will know as we are known, and that in the place of our isolation as individuals, where we are isolated in our own thoughts here in this life, that we will enjoy a marvelous interconnected community in the next. And I personally think that interconnected community is going to be a place of affirmation and wonder, and that each of us will be surrounded by those who look back on the life that we have led and say, hey, good job there, good job, you did a good job there, it was great, okay, you fell down a little bit there, but that's okay, good job, you know. And there's going to be that kind of accolades But it's going to be kind of a perpetual environment. You know, a mutual admiration society, if you will. And it's going to be better than anything that could be found in this life with everybody cheering. Because for one thing, we no longer will have the flesh to contend with. Because no matter how many cheers you get, if your mind keeps telling you, well, yeah, you don't really deserve this, you know, they just don't know you, and, you know, what about how ugly you were yesterday to so-and-so, or, I mean, if you're not in that constant turmoil, affirmation is really a wonderful thing. So I was thinking, that's going to be very cool, because really and truly, there's not much of a way that any significant majority of us are going to experience life where we just have people cheering for us in massive numbers. And that's okay. That's all right. Well, what was fascinating about the Oprah show was that she was interviewing the woman who won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress. And the woman was there. She was very excited, which is wonderful. You know, it's wonderful to see people achieve some things in life like that that they're really proud of. So the woman was sitting there with her statuette, and Oprah said, well, you know what that is, don't you? You understand what that is. And she said, well, no. She says, that's your I Am Worthy Award. And so every time you have any doubts about yourself, you can look at that and say, I am worthy. You know, the people of the Academy, they thought so much of what I just did that I am worthy. And of course, the woman broke down because she's been looking for that type of acceptance for a long time. And so the fact that Oprah is talking to her, she takes her acceptance there and that she is worthy. And I understand Oprah was trying to encourage her to just say, you know, go on with your life, don't worry about your doubts, stand up, do the best job you can do, yada, yada, yada. But I just smiled because I thought, wow, you know, is that really what an Oscar is? That's my I Am Worthy Award? And there's going to be a very, very few of us who will ever have a chance to win an Oscar. And is the way we really achieve true worth is to win something? And never mind the fact that the Oscar voting is a very convoluted process. So you really can't make the statement, well, the people in the Academy voted for you and that's why you won it, in terms of you might not have been any of theirs first choice. You might have been quite a ways down. But because of the way the voting works, you can actually... it can go down several rounds. And I used to know how it all worked, and I'd just shake my head. But it supposedly ensured that people with the most statistically significant votes actually won. It's an interesting system. So, on one side, you know, I think it's a little bit interesting to go ahead and put all your worth in a voting process, which might be flawed in some matters. And in second of all, it's kind of sad to me that people are putting their worth and their value in little gold idols, when our worth and our value has such a richer source to come from. Because we are unique and we have been made unique and we are uniquely loved and passionately devoted to. And if we can just realize how much God is for us, we don't really need little gold statues to tell us we're worthy. The other thing that happened this week is the Westboro Baptist Church won their Supreme Court ruling. These are the people, in case you don't know, small congregation, less than 100. They travel all around the country. They go to gay events, they go to military funerals, and they hold up signs Thank God that soldiers are being killed. You know, I mean, they're just really in your face, and their premise is that the reason that soldiers are getting killed is because of America's embrace of homosexuality. And some of their signs and things that they hold are just, it's like, wow. And what's interesting about this is, first of all, okay, you can lay the matrix and the framework against this and go, yeah, going around hate speech, all that kind of stuff, I don't think that's that spirit. But what is interesting is I actually finally heard a report that did a little background on them. And even the reporter was talking about how, excuse me, even the reporter was talking about how surprised she was to really investigate their background and learn a little bit more about them. Because a lot of lawyers in the family. One of the people in the family actually argued before the Supreme Court. well-educated. They support themselves. No one supports them. They do this. And they were talking to one of the spokesmen for this, a woman. And she said some things that I just went, oh, wow. Because when they decided, we have some new neighbors, and it looks like they're getting ready to put up a post office box, which they haven't had, so that's cool. It's a little close to the road there, might get knocked over, but that's okay. The lady spokesman for the Murfreesboro Church was explaining why they were doing what they were doing. I'm getting my mail. She was saying, we are doing this so that we can make people hate God, so that they won't be converted, they won't hear, and they won't come to repentance, and they'll be punished for their stance on homosexuality. I just thought, wow. And she was quoting Jesus, who said, I'm doing this so that they hearing, they may not hearing, you know, so they're, I mean, Jesus actually made a statement at one point that the reason he talked in parables is so that people wouldn't understand what he was saying, so they couldn't be saved and they couldn't come to repentance, which is an interesting statement. And they have tacked, I'm backing into my garage, and this lady tacked into that to say the reason we're so ugly is because we're really trying to make people mad at us, and not only mad at us, we want to make people mad at God so that they will be punished for their ungodliness. Wow. Eeks. Now, I suppose, well, let me put it this way. I am not so fastidious in my beliefs. I am not so set in my beliefs. I am not so obsessive about my beliefs that I don't think there's any way that God, excuse me, I got a blow in my nose, wouldn't tell them to do that. Let me rephrase that. I don't think it is not beyond my farthest imaginations that in some mystery that I do not understand, God may have spoken to them and asked them to do this for him. However, I do recognize that in life, there are many voices within us, and that we have to be very, very careful about which one we're listening to, because the flesh within us can make some amazingly convincing arguments. And so then the question for me is, when I make a decision on that, and when I make a decision as to how I'm going to proceed, which way am I going to go? You know, am I going to be of those who call other people out, point my finger at them, say they're ungodly, whether for the purpose of hoping they'll come to repentance or whether for the purpose of making them angry enough that they never will come to repentance? Or am I going to be of the school that I should exemplify love and kindness and gentleness and mercy? And I guess what it comes down to for me is, if I'm going to err on any side, I want to err on the side of kindness and gentleness and mercy. Because you reap what you sow in life. However you measure out your responses to others, that's how they're going to be measured out back to you. And at the end of the day, if I stand in front of God and Jesus, and he says, you weren't vociferous enough in calling people out and telling them to repent, I can say, I followed your path of love. And that seems to me to be a much less dangerous position than to say God has called us to offend people, to make them angry with him, so that he never has a chance to forgive them. My wife is pulling out of the garage because she's going to a meeting tonight. Anyways, so this is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.